So
welcome to Cahoots.
Yeah, hi guys. It's been it's been 2 weeks since we've recorded.
Yeah, I had a little jaunt. I had family, wedding,
skipping up and down the West Coast,
you know, just hanging with my chubby nephew who's so cute and adorable. God, cute babies. They grow up so fast.
You know, you blink and then
before you know it,
he's going to college.
Speaking of, Ben's got his first niece.
Yeah, I have a niece. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of babies in the Cahoots world right now. That just happened over the weekend, so.
Yay.
So this will be one of the closer times from recording to posting, because I'll post, today's Tuesday, and we'll probably post this tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This
is the Cahoots fresh edition.
Yeah, this is hot off the presses. I guess the Ivana Trump one was like that, because we fucked up and had to do it last minute. But like,
yeah, we've tried to have when we first started with this whole thing, we're like, oh, we should do like two or three, have a couple in the bank, and now it's just okay. Well, here we are.
Yeah, we gotta stock up again. I think we're gonna try and get some more guests that we're gonna try and get, and then you and I can just overtime it. But yeah, you know, for today, this is back to sort of classic mode. It's just.
Just the two of us.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I still want to do a photo that could replace our current profile pic of just like the back-to-back hands crossed.
We need to do that.
I mean, just, I don't know. Why not? But, okay, so we have a couple of write-ins, but, so we'll call out our friends, and then I have one that's just like burning a hole in my pocket. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but like maybe we call, shout out our friends.
Uh-huh.
I'll blast through mine real quick, and then we'll go to our suggestions.
Well, let's just go straight into yours, and then we'll see how long that takes us, because we may not want to do both of those right now.
Copy that.
So let's just do it. So this is one that you had. I don't know where the fuck this came from. You texted me about it like a month ago or something, and this has been on our list, and you have brought it up multiple times, and I'm going to kind of just give it to you, and I'll jump in once I understand what it is. But why don't you take it, Kate?
Okay, so... I'm doing a deep dive in my Amazon Prime music.
Okay.
You know, like all the free, like with the Amazon Prime account comes like the free tunes that you can stream.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah,
and they do the pre-sorted, playlist. So you don't have to get crazy. You can just go, I want a fun playlist, and there's a fun playlist.
Uh-huh.
So, I was driving and as a writer, and I also still do storyboards sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so like, but oftentimes I'm working from home, but there are those times where you have meetings and you end up like across town. So this was one of those days where I was driving from Santa Monica back to the East Side, stuck in 10 traffic.
No, that's the worst.
The entire time.
And then everyone got out of a van and started doing a dance routine on the 10.
It was wild.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. And then I turned around and Ryan Gosling was there.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
And that's the story about how Kate met Ryan Gosling. Sorry.
So I just was like, I'm going to put on one of these random Amazon Prime pre-loaded playlists. And so I went for it. I was like, I feel lucky. And I press it, and so it's like scrolling through, and like some of the songs I know because they're just like you know, whatever Billboard hit stuff. But okay, so in my car, I have the thing where I have the little screen, right? So and like before the song plays, it like pops up and it says the song title and the artist, and then it's like maybe like a 3 second lag, and then you hear the first note of the song.
Mm-hmm,
So I'm literally just stopped. You know, bumper to bumper traffic. Next song cues up, and I look at the screen, and I see the song title, "Singles You Up,"
Singles
by
you.
Jordan Davis.
I don't even know. Is that a popular musician? I don't know who that
is. So I look at it and I go, I had no idea what it was either. Like,
yeah, okay,
I had never heard
it before. Okay, I feel so old now.
And I honestly, I can't remember what the playlist was. So, Singles You Up is...
Singles You Up.
Singles You Up.
Singles You Up.
Is a pop country song about a guy who likes a gal who has a boyfriend. So, he's singing to her this entire pop country song. This is like Tim McGraw, like classic, you know, pop. Like, it's pretty catchy. But,
yeah, it's three choruses, an orchestra, and like a... Yeah.
And you know, and he's singing and he's saying the whole time, like, you know, if he ever singles you up, I'm going to be there waiting for you. And so he's using singles you up as a verb. Basically, it's a complicated way of saying if you get dumped.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be there for you. And, you know, it's all like he doesn't appreciate you like I do and that kind of stuff or whatever.
It's, but, like, just like Jesse's girl, but a different approach to the narrative. Yeah. Sure.
But I just love this idea of, like, the most, like, the longest route to just saying, like, if you get dumped.
If you're ever single. Or
But if he ever singles you up. But the thing that I just immediately started laughing once the song started and I got that that was a thing, because when I first, before it started playing, when I first saw it, I read it as singles, comma, you up, question mark.
Which, you know, it kind of makes more sense, you know, in a way.
So I immediately texted Ben and was like, this is a cahoots thing for sure, because, I mean, those are two different movies. Singles you up and singles, comma, you up.
Yeah.
So.
Singles. See, the comma one's interesting because that kind of seems like.
See, to me.
Okay, no.
I was going to say it. I mean, that's. Oh, shoot. Who is she? Her breakout was Bridesmaids. You know who I'm talking about. The comedian who's so. She's funny. British
Kristen,
girl. Not. She played her roommate. And she was in Pitch Perfect. I'm so bad at, like, names.
Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson.
She's Australian.
Oh, Australian.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. But, you know, someone like her, I think singles you up, singles comma you up is her, or someone similar. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously it's like, I don't know. She puts out the, like, carrier pigeon word that, like,
yes.
Hey, ladies, are we going out? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm this is, like, the worst pitch ever because I don't know what the movie is. But outside of just that, I mean, it's sort of it's a fun female comedy.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of one of those ones that, like, is a low-concept broad comedy that, like, it's one of those ones that seems like it's, like, the pitch is just, like you said, it's, like, you get the right actor to be in it. And it's just like
kind of a great title for maybe not like the best movie ever.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of a great title.
Or it's like, but I'm also, there's a sort of like send all like mass text quality to the title as well, where it's kind of like, I don't know if it's a girl that like gets dumped or is just sick of being lonely and just decides like, maybe it's somebody who's been like too choosy about, you know, like the way they pursue relationships and has, you know, struck out a bunch of different times that it seemed really important. And then she just starts like mass texting, like everyone in her phone, all of her Facebook friends. Like she just starts like the broadest search of just like, I don't care if you're single, you up, like I will entertain every possible option. I don't care if you're 19 years old or 78 years old. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care. You know, it's like that like the one criteria she's like, you know, they have to be single. And so if it's just like somebody who just is like the broadest perspective on trying to find.
I mean, that might. So Annie Brandt, best friend, who I always talk about, every episode.
Unofficial co-host.
Yeah. But I mean, in all of her myriad of fabulous one-liners, she has said before a couple different times when someone says, well, who's your type, Annie? And she goes, eventually everyone's my type.
Yeah. No, that would be a line in the trailer and probably some version of the tagline. Like, I don't, you know, like how the tagline would be like.
So, okay, wait, like, real quick though. Okay. Mm-hmm. So backing up a little bit, because if we're thinking broad comedy, if we're thinking something like Bridesmaids, which it doesn't have to be, but that just is sort of an easy go-to, or even like a Hangover or something, like these nice ensemble, comedies that revolve around like, one person going through an event. So like whether it's that the one person in the group, and this could be a male or female's comedy, but has a big breakup or something. So then it becomes about like, we're going to get this person over their breakup. I don't know. Some version of that, but it's like the group comes together, singles you up. And like, I'm just trying to think of how do you get into the story, but.
Well, wait, so are you doing, is that would be the non-comma version?
That would be comma version.
Okay. Because I was actually thinking, I thought you were saying the non-comma version would be almost like a thing where it's like a girl that makes, or a guy, I mean, whatever, but they tend to like female protagonists here, but like somebody who's like in a bad relationship and all of their friends like convince them to break up with the person. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, okay, we're going to single you up. Like, we're going to get you single and you're going to sign a contract where you have to only like do what we tell you. Like, it's like if it's like a girl that has like five friends that sort of form a committee where they make all of her decisions for her and to try and like guide her through, like, it's like the one friend that keeps making dumb decisions and everybody sort of like grumbles about it behind her back because it's like, you don't want to be mean or anything like that. And finally that gets too far and they convince her to, you know, break up with this person that she's dating. And then like, we make all of your decisions for the next 6 months. And so it's a thing where somebody has to just sort of go along with whatever their friends are saying as like a sort of committee on how to be single. And so they decide who she goes on dates with, or they decide how long she goes between, something like that, where it's like, that's the more high concept version of this. There's where it's also like, it's like a funny, like debating kind of like decision.
Okay, yeah. I have another take on that too. If there's, okay, let's say you've got the guy pining after the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the setup. Then your catalyst would be that, I mean, and this could happen around like a 10-year high school reunion or some sort of whatever event. But, by the way, side comment, do you remember the Ryan Reynolds movie, Just Friends, with, I think we
mentioned it with Char. Yeah.
That might be able to be called Singles You Up.
Yes, I never saw it, but I think the concept, if I remember, what is it again?
Well, because she has a boyfriend, and Ryan Reynolds has always like been in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come back, and it's a high school reunion situation, or like Christmas, around Christmas time, and they see each other. But anyway, back to the pitch.
It's really funny to imagine Ryan Reynolds as that character,
Because I think he wore a fat suit too, right?
Oh yeah, that was part of it. Like, for the high school. That's how you explain flashbacks. That why he would be second chair there, but
too much pizza from two guys a girl and a pizza place.
I watched that, the premiere of that, when I was in fifth grade, I think.
No, so I think Singles You Up, okay, so I think there's a situation where, you know, this guy's pining after this girl, whatever that context is. Maybe they work together, maybe they've known each other since college, whatever it is, but and he gets propositioned by this sort of Stifler character who shows up and is like, could be an old friend, could be a new guy, doesn't matter. But he's just like the shithead Stifler kind of guy. Yeah. He's like, dude, I have broken up so many couples. I know exactly how to do it. All you got to do is just like send, you know, he just has to like she gets flowers from her ex-boyfriend, and he just has to have like lipstick on his cup. I know, he just like has this whole thing.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'll do it for you, man. Just give me like, buy the next beer. Or like, it's just some guy who's just like,
yeah. It's like Hitch or something like that, where there's like somebody.
But then, and by the way, I'm not going to out this person, but I know someone who has literally straight up told me, he's like, oh yeah, I've partaken in some like shitty breakup situations where I sent emails from fake or like past exes, or like just to try and grease the wheels of breaking up a couple so that my friend could swoop in and get the girl.
Okay, off mic, I want to know about this story. you should probably not talk about it on the thing.
But it's like, which just seems like terrible conscious.
Yeah, because you got to live with that.
Yeah.
You know, and lie like, to the faces of, you know, sure.
Our delightful male protagonist would be like, don't do that. And then the guy would be like, he'd do it and then be like, you told me to do it, right? You know, or something, like, because he was drunk or whatever the thing is. And then now there's a breakup, or, you know, so then the big culminating fight in the back half of the movie would be her finding out that he was a part of it he said, no, I wasn't a part of it. I told him not to do it. You know, that would be the.
No, there's.
That's the sort of like rom-com.
No, there's a famous, I think it's a famous short story. This is the most roundabout way to explain why I know what I'm about to say. So I read I think it's in Steven Soderbergh's interview book with Richard Lester. I believe he tells the anecdote that the initial plot for the movie Help, because Richard Lester directed Hard Day's Night, and then they were going to make another Beatles movie, and he directed, it was Help. And that the initial plot that him and the Beatles thought of was going to be a plot where Ringo is depressed because he's like the least popular Beatle. And he is like super depressed and wants to like, I think he wants to die or something. And he meets a guy at a bar who says, like, if you pay me X amount of money, like basically, if you want to die, like, I can kill you, but you, and it's like, and he's like, yo, but I don't want to know that I'm going to die. And basically, like, the guy makes a deal. Is like, if you pay me, you know, like $10,000, I will kill you at some point by surprise, and you won't know it's coming, and you'll never see me coming. I'm a master of disguise, and it'll be quick and it'll be painless, and you'll never know. And so they're like getting like Ringo's like drunk at a bar, sad, and agrees to this, and then wakes up the next morning realizing he'd agreed to that thing, and now they're terrified. Like, they have to figure out, like, to stop the guy from killing him because he's already paid him the money or something like that. And apparently they didn't do it because they found out it was the plot of some famous short story or something like that. But so basically, long story short, the version of that where it's like two guys getting, like, kind of what you just said, but like put it more to a fine point, it's like, you know, they're all at a party,
and he can even say like, oh, that's really funny that you do that, and to the Stifler jackass, yeah, friend, in quotes, like, friend, you know, takes that as a thumbs up.
Well, I'm saying it, even you can go further with, like, it's like literally, like, it's like the guys planned a surprise party. So like our Ryan Reynolds character or whatever has planned a surprise party for his like best friend, this girl, and she shows up with this guy that she's like, he thought they were broken up or didn't know the whatever. And so it's like he's like really bummed because he was like hoping to like confess his love to her this night, but she's like back together with her boyfriend. That's probably what it is. Like, she was broken up, and he's like, this is my chance, I'm gonna throw this big party.
Oh yeah, that's, and like the first 10 pages is her being broken
yeah
up.
Yeah, and so he's like crying, you know, shoulder crying, all this stuff like that. He plans this big party for her, she shows up with the guy, so the whole night, like, she's having a great time, yeah, and he's just at the bar, just another one, just like getting drunk. And so his like old buddy, his freshman year roommate or something like that, that also knew the girl, you know, shows up at this party, hasn't seen the guy in a while. And this is your, like, you know, your Stifler character that's like, can read the room immediately. And he's like, oh, I know what's going on here. He's like, you're in love with her. And, yeah. Oh wait, who?
No, I was just thinking casting. I'm like terrible with names. Silicon Valley, the,
oh, what, TJ Miller?
Yeah, TJ Miller.
Oh, well, he's canceled, though.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Well, you know, but...
But that kind,
yeah,
of...
Yeah, oh,
guy.
No, yeah. You, well, yeah, fuck. Yeah, he would be perfect as it. Who's another...
I mean, he's in Deadpool, too.
Yeah, he's probably not going to be in anymore, though. I don't know, whatever. But, like, somebody like... Yeah, somebody in that sort of, like, you know, like, no, I understand what's going on here. You're in love with her. She's back with that guy. I know exactly what to do here. I've done it before. I can break them up. Give me 2 weeks. 2 weeks. She'll never want to hear that guy's name ever again. You know. And he's like, you would do that for me? He's like, yeah, for like $500. And he's like, I don't have $500. And he's like, you know, whatever. Like, they negotiate some thing where it's like he's just like drunk and just sort of says like, yeah, it's never gonna work. Like, she's in love with him or whatever. And so, like, yeah, it's like the next morning he realizes that he has agreed somehow to this guy, and then like maybe can't get back. Maybe he didn't exchange numbers with the guy, so he can't even contact him to tell him. And so, yeah, it becomes this sort of like,
oh my god. And there's some really funny business there where he like tries to email him at his old, mm-hmm, so I went to University of Missouri Columbia.
Oh yes,
our
mascot. The
.edu
email,
yeah, our
addresses.
Mascot,
yeah,
was,
yeah,
like, like they called it our paw print because we were tigers, was our, mm-hmm, mascot, and so. Yeah, having like the,
yeah,
like everything I have is related back to something that happened 10, mm-hmm, years ago. Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, and like this guy's like not on Facebook and stuff like that. So it's like, it's both, he's trying to find the guy before the guy can break up the thing.
Which
and
is a
then,
little bit Fargo too when he's looking for, like, for,
yeah,
Shep.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's very like, yeah, it's like a William H. Macy character in that, yeah, you know, sort of a Jerry Lundegaard type character. And so it's like. So meanwhile, he's hanging out with his best friend girl. So it's like the conflict is like he hasn't told her he's in love with her yet. He's kind of like he wants her to, you know, get singled up. But he also feels guilty that he maybe sort of commissioned this from this guy. And so he's having to sort of go through the thing. And then it's like probably what happens is she ends up break up.
Yeah, they break up
with. But he ends up confessing, like they do, like him and her like kiss one night and it's great. But he's so guilty that he confesses the whole thing. And she's like, what are you talking about? I broke up with him because he's a douchebag. Like, you knew that about him. Like, you know, I should have listened to you from the beginning. So it's like, it's one of these things where it's like, maybe they don't even, it's not even clear if the Stifler character guy, like, actually did anything.
Yeah.
But it's like his own guilt, like, forcing. So he has to then, like, you know, yeah, so the conflict is all in him. And then, like, maybe by the end of it, it's like, he bumps into that guy again. He's like, oh, I was totally fucking with you. I just needed like money for my rent. It's like, I didn't do anything. You know, and it's like, so the whole thing is like a manufactured conflict that just this guy, you know, going through. That's
not bad.
It's not bad. You know, it could have like not fully like Wedding Crashers, but yeah, I mean, it could have like a tone like that.
Yeah. Well, I think Wedding Crashers tonally is a good comp.
Yeah.
Because it's, there are a lot of, like the going between, like the swinging between the,
mm-hmm.
the extremes. No, I think that's good.
Yeah, it's broad without being like, it's not like parody or something. It's not like unreal in a ridiculous kind of way.
And it's, I mean, it is in the vein of something like Just Friends too, where it's like, mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot of, especially if you keep it around like a college reunion or a,
yeah.
whatever that event is that brings them together or,
mm-hmm.
but that you're going to have a lot of, cause I mean like basically your second act is going to be a lot of like her hanging out with him, her talking about the boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the different, you know, him meeting like,
well, like he probably has to go on a double like, date with her and her boyfriend. Yeah.
And
like yeah.
he's going to have to like convince another friend to come with them.
Yeah.
Or it's like
the shitty douchebag boyfriend's like sister is in town. And so she's like, oh, come on a date with us and like Brian's sister or whatever. Yeah. And so it's like an awkward, yeah, you get like set pieces that are like just extended awkward things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, there's, and this is sort of a riff. This is just another version of that great like toast scene in Bridesmaids where mm-hmm. they're just like one-upping each other. Mm-hmm. But having like I could imagine if this is a guy that like has met her parents and maybe has only ever known her parents as the family friend, but then like the boyfriend's there. And so it's like, oh, your mom, like she loves, like he's like, oh, you know, whatever. We'll call her Julie as like the love interest. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, oh, Julie's mom. Like I remember 10 years ago in college, mm-hmm. you know, like you love daisies or I don't know. Something.
We all remember when we all slept over, like we all went back to like, we, and then she made us like banana bread. And so it's like,
and then the boyfriend's list like, oh, but you're allergic to nuts.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, I am. And you know, it's like,
yeah. And so they keep like, yeah, this sort of like the levels of intimacy.
Cause it was banana bread without walnuts. No, they had definitely had walnuts.
And so like the main character guy eventually, yeah, he's like they start calling it like your mom. And he's like, well, you know, Carol's my friend. I mean, I met her multiple days. Like,
yeah,
you know, sort of like stepping up the things and stuff. Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
Because that's such an awkward, like, beautifully awkward thing in Bridesmaids mm-hmm. with the...
No, it's great.
Yeah. You've known her, but, like, for a long time, but we've...
Known, like, yeah, whatever the... Well, that's another one that, you know, copyright.
And by the way, like, singles comma you up, I just want to make sure...
Oh, yeah, we can go back to that one.
Well, no, just that... I don't know if it's... It's probably not the title sequence, because I think it's not the most effective use, but definitely when like you assemble the team for, you know, the beginning of the act two,
mm-hmm.
it's single ladies.
Oh, of course.
Plays us. I just want to make sure I say that. Cause it's just like, and everyone gets the little goofy ass glove.
Yeah.
The robot hand.
Yeah. That's what you do. That's what it has to be. So wait, do we need to cover
it? Or
any
you
more
just
on
cut
that?
Actually, you know what'd be really funny?
Mm-hmm.
Is if you, because that was such like the iconic video. It was all mm-hmm. black and white and it was like them in the so if you could write a scene,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know what this is, right? But like
sure.
whatever the versions of single, comma, you up, having you know, you get the ladies together, we're gonna like take this town by storm. And for some reason, they're, like, in the black leotard.
Oh, sure.
Because they're,
yeah.
like, I don't know, trying out. But, like, you make it really innocuous mm-hmm. at first. Like, there's just... But then when you cut to that song...
It's, like, a slow
you
motion.
You cut to black
like,
and white
yeah.
and them in that, like, those outfits.
I mean, that sounds like when you're describing it as, like, this sort of, like, yeah, like, girls' night or their, what's it called? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm still, like the version where it's just, like, the mass text, mass email, mass everything version. Like, where it's, like... Rebel Wilson. Oh yeah, go.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just so yeah. Rebel Wilson. Maybe the opening of the movie is her very last single friend. It's her wedding. So
uh-huh,
it's like,
uh-huh.
and she's one of eight bridesmaids, and every single one.
And
of
she's
them,
crying because she's the only one that's single now.
Well, it's just like, I don't know if she starts off as kind of cynical and then mm-hmm. becomes whatever, or if. I'm not sure what her emotional arc is, but like, I think that's the sort of mm-hmm. impetus for her to go like, you know, and you can see all those moments of just everyone in her life and everyone around her being like, surely you brought a date or something, yeah, you know, yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. No, plus one, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. plus zero again,
yeah,
or something. I don't know. It's like you set up this kind of thing where I'm just trying to like draw the line between where the movie starts and then getting to like singles you up. So like, I don't know. You know what could be kind of funny?
What
is, and I'm, this is like, I have no idea what this is. I'm just, but like, if you're the only single girl in your group of like, let's say, 8 friends that you hang out with, and you're like, well, this is kind of a bummer,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, I'm just gonna get a new group of friends, and so then the movie is really just like these, like her going on, I don't know, dating apps or something or something or
oh,
something.
Oh, that's actually really funny. She's just like, she's just trying to make friends.
Yeah, because they are single too. Yeah, she's like, yeah, that's, I don't have anyone really to go out funny. With anymore. I don't have anyone to like hang. Everyone's have married or has kids. No one will go get drunk with me anymore. No one will go
yeah.
dance.
Yeah.
Everyone's buying houses.
That's a pretty good. So it's like a because the version that I was pitching where she's just like, I'll date anybody kind of thing was like, it was eventually going to get to the point where she was like scheduling, like she was going on 10 dates every single night, you know, where it's like, she's literally like, okay, from like, you know, 5:30 to 5:45, I'm having coffee with this person. Then I got to meet this person for a drink. And then I got to go to the park with this person. It's like, you know, it's like just seeing what somebody in like a, you know, all singles available, like every possible thing. There's that version.
Well, because my version,
the version you're saying is like, it's like almost a romantic comedy about her finding friends. Yeah.
And here's the open door thing. Here's what starts it is like, there's all these dating apps, right? Tinder, Hinge, League, mm-hmm. like there's one that tries to, that it's like initial pitching selling point to women specifically was Bumble, that mm-hmm. like women reach out to men. Yeah. Right. The other thing, though, it was the first app, I believe, to offer like a friendship.
Yeah, there's
algorithm.
Like it was like the dating one, and then there's like a different so,
for
yeah,
friends.
Yeah.
And I think everybody else piggybacked on.
Yeah,
that
there's
feature,
more of those.
So
in
now,
there, yeah.
Now there's a bunch of that, but just the idea of a girl being like, you know, she so with the first act or the first like 5 to 7 pages are her at the wedding of her last single friend.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see all the business with like
mm-hmm.
all the families and everyone going, oh sweet, you know, Cindy, like you're just really not ever gonna have a boyfriend, huh?
Yeah,
or like
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
that
yeah.
business has set it up. She goes home, and there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do about being single and living alone or having roommates or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
all that. And then she logs on to her Bumble profile or whatever the fake
mm-hmm.
dating app thing you create. And then she sees that, like, oh, there's a tab for friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the... So she goes, boom. And she starts just, like, clicking on everybody.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
When she wakes up or whatever, maybe it was, like... Maybe it could be even as fast as someone just being, like, oh, I'm around the corner. Let's go hang out. Let's
yeah,
be friends
yeah,
now or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's so much funny... So then, yeah, she ends up... And I'm not sure exactly what that arc is then going from there and what this... what's her arc as a character? Is she gonna learn that, like,
yeah, what is the end goal to sort yeah. of like form a squad like kind of thing, or is it like that she's
running from her problems and therefore it's great to have new friends, but you should also just like talk to your mom who doesn't
mm-hmm.
you know, was never trying to judge you in the first place but was mm-hmm. trying to be, you know, that I'm not, yeah, maybe through all these like random people, they are friends, but they also just help her realize.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's
points.
What it would be. Yeah. And then it's like probably like once you've like sort of resolved or like addressed all those things, then like at the very end of it, she's like, you know, alone at some event or she goes to get coffee or something like that. And then just, you know, like the last thing is just like some guy like chats her up at a table. And you just sort of like cut out where it's like the whole thing was about her like trying to find somebody and not be single. But like the entire movie addresses every other aspect of her life. And at the very end, when she's not expecting it, she like starts a conversation with somebody or somebody starts a conversation with her. And it's like, you know, wink at the camera, you know, circle fade,
yeah.
like kind of like,
no,
you
I
know,
think, but that, yeah. I think that's really fun. And like, yeah, every in that first, you know, what has to be like an incredibly tightly written first 7 pages of, you know, we get that she's like critical of her friend, you know, Karen, who used to be like fun and
mm-hmm.
would party, drink all night with her. And then, you know, Sarah, who used to want to go hiking all the time. So it's like when she meets these new people, they're like the most extreme versions of what she's complaining about.
Because, yeah, some of it has to be that her learning to, like, accept other people for just... Yeah, exactly.
And not, like, project whatever sort of shortcoming she feels or self-consciousness or insecurity onto these people who are living their lives. Yeah.
No, that's another one. Copyright Cahoots 2019.
Singles?
You up.
You up. You up?
You up. Yeah, yeah, we both did a non-question mark version, which is probably, but should we move on to one of the other ones or should we, okay.
No, I think we exhausted that, but I'm happy that we did it because that one was just too much fun because I just laughed in my car. I was like, I literally read that singles comma and I was like, oh, I want to hear the song called Singles. You up?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, I had no idea. And
but now
it's
a verb.
Now it's a bunch of things, yeah. All right, so this next one came from a listener suggestion. As we've told you guys before, we're very open to send in prompts, ideas. I mean, we think of these on our own, but we also we run out of ideas sometimes, and it's nice to have other people throw us curveballs, and then we have no idea what they're going to be. And so this one comes from Ed Unitas, I'm not necessarily going to read his whole email, but he's a regular listener. He says, hey guys, first
talented
time
editor.
Long time, really love the show, pairs well with his morning coffee, he says. Ed is an editor, full disclosure. He edited Super Dark Times, the movie that Luke and I wrote, and he's an old friend of mine. He's actually the first person I crashed with when I moved to LA. Fun fact.
That is fun fact.
Yeah, I slept on his couch.
No one's ever made the Ed the editor joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No one every single time you introduce him to people. But yeah, great guy. And he's been doing this to me for a while when he's just asks me about like how things are going. And I talk about, or if he's like heard about a movie and he's like, do you know anything about this? And if I'm like, oh, yeah, like I met somebody that said they worked in this, whatever. Like, it's a small town, effectively, the industry. And so he started calling me industry insider. He just started like saying that about me, which is sort of like a, it's like calling somebody a big shot or something like that. And so I think that was, I asked him if he had any ideas and he said industry insider.
Oh.
I'm going to make sure I got that right.
I kind of interrupted you though, but I do want to say that Cahoots does, I love that it, I'm happy to hear that it pairs well with coffee. I think it also pairs well with all of your smoking needs and all of your beverage needs outside of coffee as well.
Yeah, it's, it's really, it's all about hanging out. Yeah. And however you hang out, I think that's what we want this to, emulate the experience of.
I like the idea of it pairing well with something. Mm-hmm. Like we're like a wine or something. Okay, so Industry Insider.
Now,
so
that
it's
doesn't
really
have
just
to
your
be...
beer bio. It's the Ben Collins story.
Well, I mean, but it should be more fun than that. Like,
yeah,
I was
I,
like, well, it's like,
just like that was your setup.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's like him being sort of like, oh, Mr. Hollywood, kind of thing. But it's like, obviously, if you're going to do a movie or a show or something called Industry Insider, like one version of it is like a guy that works at like a dry cleaners or something like that. And so it's like somebody who interacts with.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's like somebody who interacts with celebrities. But in a completely innocuous way, it's like, every dry cleaner in LA has like the headshots on the wall.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, what if it's the story about the guy that like, like works at the dry cleaners that has like the most celebrities, like right in the middle of like, like on Franklin and whatever. And it's like, so it's a guy that I don't know what the plot of it actually is. Or maybe it's like somebody he's been like lying to his family and saying that he like works in the industry. And he always has this like gossip about like the stuff because people chit chat with him when they come in or something. So it's like Industry Insider is like a joke title or something like that. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
There is. Sorry, I just picked up my phone because I'm trying to remember this man's full name. This guy, Andre Leon Talley.
Oh, from America's Next Top Model.
Yes. You know him from that.
The one reality show I've ever watched, really.
He has an insane origin story. His quick little bio here on Wikipedia says he's an American fashion journalist, and he was the editor at large of Vogue magazine. he got a job. So he was obsessed with fashion and got a job as a janitor so that he could mop the floors of Vogue at the Condé Nast building is four Times Square, I think. And that was his in. Like, it wasn't through any of the other channels.
He rose from janitor to like mailroom probably, and then to like
I think he went from janitor to working at Vogue. I'm not kidding. I think he like was mopping Anna Wintour's floor and just like talked to Grace Coddington or whoever was there and was like talking to people, and he just had this like, he's like 6'6" and has this like vivacious,
very striking kind of person,
personality, but just. It was like, I think it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't know that much about the man, but my assumption about just hearing the bits and pieces of his story is just like, well, I'm not gonna impress them with like my, you know, scholastic abilities and achievements. I'm not going to, I'm not like a model turned like fashion expert. So what's something I can do to just literally get my foot in the door? I can mop the floor.
Yeah.
And if I can mop the Anna Wintour's floor, then I can talk to Anna Wintour. And I know that's all I need to like,
so it's like he's
become
like,
her second.
It's like Goodwill Hunting, but he's in fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So whether it was like inspired by that or it was the actual story, if it was like, you know, Andre Talley, industry insider, which was one of Ed's suggestions, was that you could do it like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective or something like that, where it's like name, blah, blah, blah. So like that's a version of it where it's like, and I guess if you were going to do it as like a fiction movie, you would have it be where like, and I don't know what the reality of it was, but like where it's like he's really playing up, like almost like fictionalizing to them, like his knowledge or his experience. And then like, you know, yeah, he's faking
go
his way up.
And,
the,
yeah.
Yeah. Doing See. All the research and stuff.
Well, and I don't know if it's the full on, like, he lets them see him mop or he just knows, like, I don't know, to what extent you play that. Like, is it more charming that he's mopping and then
he's just fully legit, knows everything, or is he, like, faking, like, he's, like, comes from some other background.
Like, he shows up to work in his janitor uniform, but then... right before Anna Wintour gets there, like, has a little costume change, which he was...
That's actually really fun.
He's known for his, like, big giant kimono thing, so maybe maybe that started because he would just throw that on over his...
Sure.
Little, you know. Yeah, I don't know, but that was always, like, I always remember that story. But that's, like, and he's, like, I mean, a janitor has after-hours access, so you're talking about...
Yeah.
Industry insider, you're like staring at the boards and looking at the you know, whatever is on the desk.
Yeah, it's like somebody from from a lowly position accomplishes something within an industry where a lot of other people would struggle is like what the sort of, that's what that automatically suggests. I'm trying to think if there's some other way to look at the phrase industry insider. Is there...
Larry David also, by the way, was, I don't know if he was a, he was like a limo driver or a valet or something.
I think I heard that, yeah.
So there's like, there's all kinds of, and of course, famously Judd Apatow was like faked having a radio show. He had a radio show as in his high school, but played up, like he basically said,
didn't he
like
interview Gary Shandling or something like that? Yeah.
But like, you know, under the guise of being like a, not a high school student, but like a, you know, professional publication or something. So
it's just funny because now he would just have a podcast and it just wouldn't,
wouldn't matter.
They didn't exist back then.
But again, industry insider, like just.
So there's like the darker, like Nightcrawler version.
Yes. Nightcrawler was one of the movies I thought about, like with this.
Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, this is the other take. There's the light comedy, like the success, the underdog success story of like the Andre Talley type guy that like fakes his way to like a position of power and succeeds because he loves something so much, like the Goodwill Hunting
version.
Well,
he knows he has a point. I think the legit story with Andre Talley, by the way, and like I'm not, but I think he had a specific point of view, and he was bringing a couple to and like just knew that he was never going to be able to sit across the table from Anna Wintour because he didn't go to St. Martin's in London, or he didn't go to Parsons, or he didn't go to like, so how would you else do you get to speak to this woman and have her listen to you for 5 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so this, so it's like
it is Good Will Hunting. Yeah.
It's two sides of the same coin is what we're like there's the uplifting, positive pursuit of happiness version.
Yeah.
And Pursuit of Happiness is another one that I think has come up on multiple podcasts, like episodes of this show. I feel like
I brought it up with Chain of Title.
Yeah, and I think there was one other one too. Anyways, because it's a good spec script. It's a good, you know, good idea for a movie. But like, if you did the Nightcrawler version, where it's like somebody who is completely lying about their insider status all the time to like an escalating level of sort of like severity and danger, and like. Yeah, like trying to sort of like do anything it takes to succeed. And like, I mean, Nightcrawler, I don't know that it would have worked as industry insider if you like replaced the title, but like, you know, kind of. I mean, like that's the version of it where it's like somebody who like it starts off as like small lies and then bigger lies and then a web of lies that they ultimately have to like commit some crime to, like, you know, whether they kill somebody or something like that. But yeah, like industry insider, like the player basically.
Like Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah. It's like the version of that that's like the Hollywood version of that or something like that, which is kind of, I mean, you've seen The Player, right? Have you seen The Player?
No.
It's like about, it's like a, Tim Robbins plays an executive that like steals a script from a writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the writer's, that would be, that you could call The Player industry insider, and that's like the dark sort of Nightcrawler-y, like, you know, sort of Bret Easton Ellis sort of version of that or something like that. Yeah, industry insider could be like a, mid-career Bret Easton Ellis novel about a guy who lies his way into a Hollywood career and ends up, like, you know, murdering a famous actor or something like that, and then lies about the idea that like, basically, like, writes a script. Oh, God, this is good. So the guy that, like, writes a script tells everybody that Ryan Gosling is attached to the script, and that's, like, how, I'm using Ryan Gosling just randomly here, but, like, tells everybody that Ryan Gosling's attached to be in his script and starts, like, you know, getting attention around town. And this sort of elevates his thing to the point to where he actually like ends up hanging out with Ryan Gosling and sort of like making friends with him. And it gets to the point where he's going to have to sort of tell him, okay, I've been using your name to sort of like, the only reason I'm here is because I use your name to escalate in the thing. And then maybe it's like, they're like drunk at Ryan Gosling's house one night or something like that. And he tells him, it ends up in a fight. And like Ryan Gosling, like, somehow hits his head and dies or something like that. And so then it's like the success is him lying to everybody that this was like, you know, it was going to be his next role. This was his dream to be. So he uses the fact that he's dead as like an even escalated thing. And so it's like when Heath Ledger died and they recast all those actors to play him in the Terry Gilliam movie. Mm-hmm. So it's like something where it's like, oh, so like Ryan Gosling dies on accident, but now this is a famous script because it was what Ryan Gosling always wanted to do. So then it's like Jake Gyllenhaal heroically steps in to play the part that Gosling was supposed to play. And then the movie's like a big success because all of his lies led to this fictional thing that this was like a thing. And at the end, he's like successful, and it's called Industry Insider. And it's like a dark.
I love that.
That's like that is the Nightcrawler version. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
Okay, great. Well, that was a that was a good episode. It was good to be. Have a classic Cahoots, you know, just us talking.
Just Cahoots classic, you know. Yeah, sometimes you got to go back to the original formula.
Yeah, just back to basics. I mean, we'll have more guests soon. I won't name names because we're figuring it out. But yeah, this is the original 12 Herbs and Spices or 11 Herbs and Spices or whatever that version is, you know.
Yeah, Coke with the Coke.
Yeah, yeah, the original Coke, you know, the cocaine.
You guys didn't know that fact.
Yeah, this is a little zinger for you. little homeschool kid.
We call that a twist
knowledge.
In screenwriting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. So the things to talk about, to say. Okay, so we're on Twitter, Instagram, Cahoots Podcast, or at Cahoots Podcast on both of those things, cahootspodcast@gmail.com. If you have other ideas, as you've seen, we will read your shit and do our best to riff on it. So send us things if you want. This week, I was lucky enough to be a guest on the MERS cast that Gray Holger and Mike Connolly do. And I just want to, you know, shout out to them for letting me on there and letting me plug the show. Although if you listen to it, I managed to plug the show at the end without, I keep fucking it up and didn't realize I was fucking it up. So it was a bad plug, but I think, you know, hopefully some people heard about it because I talked about it. And also shout out to the other podcast that I started with Luke called Sync Ratios, where we watch Neon Genesis Evangelion like a bunch of nerds, but it's fun. So, MERSCast, Sync Ratios, Cahoots, The Media Empire.
By the way, I was thinking about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, since we started Cahoots, you've had a big couple of press releases with your latest project. And
oh,
like,
have I?
Well, we'll get to, when you get to go shoot it, we'll get to plug mm-hmm. it more. But I was thinking, oh, I should shout you out, or we should at least bring that up. So it's,
well, that's very sweet of you.
It's at the end of this, but we'll bring it up more. You've okay. got a movie coming up called Night House. Mm-hmm. It got funded. That came out earlier this year. And
yeah.
then Jessica Hall is
Rebecca
star.
Hall.
Fucking Rebecca Hall.
Not Jessica Hall, our mutual friend, the executive that we both have worked with. Hey, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Sorry. Scratch that.
Mm-hmm.
Rewind.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall.
Yeah.
But congrats
Thank
to you and Luke and our friend David Bruckner.
Yeah.
Who will be directing.
Yeah, and hopefully very soon. So we'll have to figure out how to do the podcast during that.
Yeah, well, good thing that remote.
Yeah, we can figure it out. But thank you.
But yeah.
I don't like to toot my own horn, so I appreciate you doing it for me.
Yeah, we'll talk more and, you know, ask mm-hmm. stuff. Because that's a fun, maybe we'll do a thing where you talk about some of that process. Because, like, I don't know, we've played around with that a bit.
Yeah, or maybe we'll have Luke on, and then we'll, like,
yeah.
maybe that'll be, like, how we talk to Luke on the thing.
Love it.
We should do that soon. Okay. Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Glad to be back, and more to come.
Good night.
Good night.